Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too, at the Team 980. 5:30, we'll talk a little Commanders, discuss the defensive line. John Keim wrote an article about asking the question, have they done enough to be able to deal with the Eagles? Has anyone done enough to be able to deal with the Eagles? We'll look at it through that Commander's lens and the Commander's D-line through that lens coming up at 5:30. Right now, though, top story of the day, 5 o'clock. You know the deal. It's time for Not My Beat.
Today's top story, from the perspective of someone who's there.
You are looking live.
This just in.
Not My Beat.
Of course, the top story of the day is the NBA Finals tonight, but we're going to put that on the back burner for a second as we welcome in Tim Bontemps from ESPN. Of course, he years wrote for the Washington Post as well. Tim, welcome back. Appreciate your time as always, sir.
Hey, great to talk to you, Craig. How you doing, man?
I'm good. Although I'm confused, and you're someone that I want to try to unconfuse myself with, or we're just going to be confused together, because this Desmond Bane trade over the weekend, you had a great write-up on a bunch of different angles of this on ESPN.com. And I'll just start here, man. Like, my reaction to this was, you've got to be kidding me in terms of the return that they got for Desmond Bane, them, of course, being the Memphis Grizzlies, who get a bunch of unprotected first-round picks, two rotation players, and a pick swap for Desmond Bane. And this is a year after Mikal Bridges, like, same thing. And I think Bridges is a better player than Bane. Is this just what, like, decent players in the league cost now? Or is the reaction around the league, like, is there confusion around the league in terms of what the market is for a player on the trade market?
I mean, I think you have to sort of look at these situations individually, right? So if you go back to the Mikal Bridges trade last year, he was a very good player on a very good value contract, right? And so he slotted right into New York's salary structure where they could make a trade for basically only sending out Bojan Bogdanovic, who has a potential, you know, maybe a career-ending ankle injury during the playoffs. And so they can add a really good player to their roster without sacrificing anything off their current roster, right? Now, was that a good value proposition long term? That's a much different conversation to have. But that is the thinking that went into that deal, right? This Desmond Bane trade is a similar sort of deal. You look at it for Orlando. This is the team that was dead last in three-point shooting, had very little offensive creation, desperately needed a perimeter scorer and shooter. Desmond Bane's a 41% three-point shooter for his career. He can play point. He's a great guy. He can also is a very credible defender, really strong, rugged defender. So he slots into what has been one of the best defensive teams in the league and gives them that offensive weapon that they need without sacrificing any defense. So from a fit standpoint, he's a great fit on a long-term deal that they can slot in and have him as part of this core going forward. So Orlando, a team that has been extraordinarily conservative with their draft picks, has not gone in for anybody, identified Desmond Bane as the player they wanted to go get and went and got him, right? And got a guy who's, I think, 26, 27, like in his prime, going to be right in line with Jalen Suggs and Paolo Banchero and Franz Wagner going forward. Now, will that work out long-term? I think it's going to remain to be seen. And I think you can look at the Indiana Pacers as the upside of this deal, right? A year and a half ago, the Pacers traded for Pascal Siakam. I think they traded 3 firsts in a swap.
Yep, it was three.
Just 3 firsts. Yeah. Right. So that was a trade at the time that people said, that's a lot of firsts to give up for Pascal Siakam to then give him a max contract. How is this going to go? Is this really a deal you make if you're Indiana, right? Pacers made the conference finals last year. They're 2 wins away from a title this year. There's nobody saying anything other than that was an amazing trade for the Pacers, right? And leveled that team up and gave them a chance to compete for a title. Desmond Bane has the ability to potentially be that same kind of fit for Orlando. Or, to your point, Craig, if you go back to the Mikal Bridges deal, if Orlando, which hasn't got out of the first round of the playoffs in 15 years, by the way, is a first round and out team next year, or never gets out of the second round the next couple of years, then you're going to look at it and say, well, this maybe is more like the Mikal Bridges trade, where, yes, the Knicks made the conference finals, but they gave up all this stuff. They don't really have a way to get better, and they feel like a team that's sort of maxed out in terms of their overall ceiling, right? So I think only time will tell about where the fit of this trade is and where it lands in terms of whether it was the right thing to do long-term or not. But what I think you do have to do is, in each of these instances, whether it's the Rudy Gobert trade or the Donovan Mitchell trade or the Mikal Bridges trade or this trade or the Siakam trade, you have to sort of look at it through the prism of the specific team and the specific player that's involved and the motivations that go into why the deal is made. And it's why you have sort of these wildly varying value structures on a lot of these different trades, where a guy like Desmond Bane goes for four first and a swap, who is a very good player but hasn't made an all-star team yet. And Kevin Durant, who we'll probably talk about next, is probably not going to go for a package that looks like that, despite being Kevin Durant, right? For a whole other set of reasons.
Right. Yeah, I definitely want to get to the Durant piece of this in a second and what this means for the market. This Tim Bontemps is with us, and he wrote about all this again at ESPN.com. I guess, like, I hear you, and I think you make a great point in terms of the fit with Bane. And the Siakam piece was something I thought of as well. Like, he is the perfect fit. If you were to identify who could help the Orlando Magic, Desmond Bane would be one of the top names you would think of the archetype of player they needed. I guess where I struggle with this, Tim, is if I had asked you on Saturday, the day before this trade, hey, Desmond Bane is going to get traded tomorrow, what's the return? I don't think you would have said four first round picks, a pick swap, plus two rotation players. And by the way, KCP, a champion who brought some real veteran leadership to that team.
See, this is not to interrupt, Craig, mm-hmm. but this is sort of the part of the calculus of the trade, right? Like, mm-hmm. to say that Cole Anthony and KCP are rotation players is a little strong, right? Cole Anthony is a okay backup guard who's on an expiring contract and is in the deal to make the money work. Mm-hmm. And frankly, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is a guy who is on a negative contract after a rough year last year. And it was part of the return in this trade is getting off of KCP's money.
So you almost look at that as they're getting off, like, the extra first round. Like, it's almost like it's two first rounders plus a two first rounder penalty, one for each of those guys.
Or maybe probably three and one. Like, Cole Anthony isn't negative. He's just a neutral. Like, he's just an expiring deal to make the money work. You could probably flip him for a second or something. But really, this is a combination of the Magic getting a player who perfectly fits their team while also moving on from a guy in KCP that was not a good fit last year and was not on a contract that was seen as a value one.
Got it.
Around the league with the way he played. Which, is, again, is why each of these deals, it's not like there's a, you know, like the NFL famously has the trade value chart for the draft, right?
Where right.
it's like you can say, like, if you want to trade for the number one pick and it's like 1,000 points or whatever, you give this combination of stuff to get to the 1,000 points. It doesn't really work like that with these things because there's so many different variables at play. And I'm not sitting here saying that, you know, there are plenty of people in the league who agree with you and think that the Magic gave up too much, and they may have, but they also, the East is wide open in the wake of Jason Tatum's torn Achilles. And if the Orlando Magic are in the conference finals next year and have a chance to make the finals, and Desmond Bane is scoring 22 a game in the playoffs and hitting 40% from three, it's going to be hard to look at that trade and say it didn't work, you know? And like, that's where, to your point, they identified a guy who fit their team. They aggressively went and got him. And they did so. And frankly, the most surprising thing about it is that the Orlando Magic, a team that hadn't actively acquired a player in a trade, as in they targeted a player and got him back in a deal, not that they didn't like get him as part of a deal setting out a veteran player for assets. Mm-hmm. The last time they did that was when they traded for Markelle Fultz in February 2019.
Wow.
So this is not a team that has been aggressively trying to pursue players in trade over the past 6.5 years. So the most surprising thing about this was not even that four picks were traded for Desmond Bane. It was that the Orlando Magic were the ones trading the four picks for him.
Right.
But they talked about after the season, their three-point shooting stunk. They had to go get some shooting. They had to get some playmaking. Desmond Bane became available. They identified him, and they went and got him.
No, that when you put it that way, it makes a lot more sense for sure. And obviously, the correct answer ultimately is like, well, if there was another team that was willing to give similar or just a little bit less, and this is what got it done, like that that is what a market is ultimately. And that does bring us to the Kevin Durant piece of this. Of I'm sure there are, you know, now what, four teams really that we're looking at, the three that your colleague Shams Charania reported that Durant would definitely sign an extension with on Saturday night, plus the Minnesota Timberwolves are still poking around as well, and we could see how that potentially goes down. They've all probably got different valuations on what Kevin Durant is worth at 37 years old. What's the latest you're hearing on what Durant wants, how much that matters, and then ultimately the return that Phoenix might get here?
I mean, it matters to some degree, but Phoenix is, I think, made it clear that they're going to make the best deal they can make. And, you know, it's not like Kevin's going to end up in a bad situation. Well, teams that are trying to trade for him are good teams, or are going to be good teams in San Antonio's case, most likely. And I think the question just becomes who's going to be the most motivated to try to get a deal done? And will they give enough that, you know, especially in light of this Bane trade, will Matt Ishbia, the owner of the Suns, decide it's enough to send Kevin Durant packing? I think that's really what it's going to come down to. And I think we'll know between now and the draft where this is going to land. And, you know, I wrote in that piece, I think, you know, we're going to see a trade happen. If it does, it probably is going to be as much as what Memphis just got for Desmond Bane. And I think, you know, the Suns have to sort of, you know, either wrap their heads around that and make the best deal they can make, or decide they've got to try to make things work with Kevin going forward. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see where that lands. So I would think with all the chatter that's gone on and where they are at on the trade, I think the expectation will be that they're going to, you know, get this thing over the finish line and send Kevin elsewhere and start to reorient the roster after what's been a pretty failed experiment the last couple of years.
Of course, that all started with the Bradley Beal trade, which brings us back to the home team. Just real quick, Tim, I'm sure that you haven't done a ton of Wizards recon. You're covering the NBA Finals actively and this Kevin Durant thing. And while we are hoping the Wizards can be good in the next couple of or in a couple of years, really, we know it's a long rebuild. But are there, you know, pieces on this team, the Washington team, whether it's someone like Jordan Poole, Marcus Smart, Corey Kispert, that you think teams that are in contention might be targeting, especially, and I wanted to bring this up too, because you wrote about this in the piece, because of the fact that the Nets are basically the only team with functional cap space, that, you know, July 25th, 10 days or so from now, is going to be 9 days from now, is going to be, or is it June 25th, the first round of the NBA draft day, is going to be the most active day of the offseason. Do you think that, like the Denny Avdija trade that seemingly came out of nowhere last year for Washington, that there are some potential targets on this Wizards team, and then we can get to the finals after that?
I think it's hard to say. I would guess, I mean, most of the most valuable pieces on the Wizards are, you know, their young core that isn't, you know, certainly going anywhere, right? So, you could maybe see some of those guys fly around, particularly, you know, if, you know, like Smart's expiring, do they get an asset to send him out and take on some longer term money, maybe from somebody? Sure. But generally, I think you're going to see the Wizards, you know, doing what they have been doing, which is just trying to turn more assets and, you know, and try to land another, you know, guy or two in this draft that can be part of this young core moving forward, is to try to slowly build this thing up into a, you know, contending team in Washington.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
All right, so the contending teams for now. There are two. Indiana, Oklahoma City. You're there in Oklahoma City. Of course, ESPN ABC has the finals. You can watch it there. We had our guy Kesty on. If you're driving around ESPN Radio, you can catch it there too. So there's now all your bosses are happy, Tim, that I did the requisite promos. The fourth quarter the other night, I think, is such an it's such an encapsulation of what this series has been, which is, you know, Indiana's playing really hard, and it seems like they're in control, and the building feels a certain way, at least the way it's coming through on television. You can tell me your experience from being there, and then you look at the scoreboard, and you're like, oh, the Thunder are right there. Indiana misses a bunch of shots at the start of that quarter. SGA gets going. There's the fouls. He hits a bunch of free throws. Next thing you know, we're tied at two. I feel like there's other games in this series where Oklahoma City's had runs like that, but Indiana is right there. Being in the building, seeing it up close, talking to the participants. Does this series feel as even as that? We're, you know, watching it on TV. Obviously, it's 2-2. Do these two teams feel as equal when you're experiencing this in person? And do they feel as equal to each other when you're talking to these participants, you know, doing all your reporting?
I mean, I think the Thunder are the better team, but Indiana has once again proven they're an extraordinarily difficult team to play. And I've just been extraordinarily impressed by the way the Pacers have been able to bend teams to their will throughout the playoffs. It's been really awesome to watch them just slowly kind of grind one team after another down all the way through. And, you know, it's put them in a situation where, you know, they have a real, you know, they got a real live shot, obviously, in the series to win two out of the next three and get the franchise's first NBA championship. But I do think at the same time, that game four really felt like a missed opportunity. I mean, they dominated the game. They were plus 24 at the 3-point line. The Thunder couldn't make a three. They couldn't make a play. They could hardly make a pass for a lot of the game. And the Pacers just didn't let them hang around. And Jalen Williams, who has, you know, gotten some questions during these playoffs about how he has performed at different points, had the game of his life in the biggest game of his life. And those guys got it to a point where the MVP of the league could deliver in the final 5 minutes, and he did just that. And, you know, they were in a similar situation, down 2-1 in Denver in game four against the inevitable force that is Nikola Jokic, and they escaped from that game. And they were down 7 at the start of the fourth quarter in this game four the other night against a really good Indiana team at home with not a lot going in OKC's direction, and they find a way to get it done. And if they can get 2 out of 3 wins here over the next week, it's going to be those 24 minutes in what's been an all-time great season. You know, seventh most win, you know, tied for, I think, the seventh most wins in the history of the league was 68 in the regular season, record-setting point differential, pretty dominant overall playoff run. You know, it's a reminder that even for great teams like that, these things often come down to a couple lucky breaks here and there, even for really good teams. And, you know, if the Thunder can get this thing done, it's going to be those two. It's going to be those two games that people are thinking back on. It's going to be those two fourth quarters that could very well be the difference.
When you look at Haliburton in game four, like, he was assertive and aggressive in certain ways, but he's only got 18 points. And I think there's probably some opportunities for him to take some shots where he takes passes, kind of that mid range where, you know, maybe against 28, you know, other teams, like, that's the right play. Kick it to the corner. We're against this team, the way that Oklahoma City scrambles and rotates, that taking a pull up two is actually not the worst shot. But especially, Tim, for tonight, for Haliburton on the road, where we see it all the time in the playoffs, role players play better at home versus on the road. You know, they get the 17 points from Toppin in that game four loss. So that feels like a big part of the wasted opportunity. Is there a way that Indiana wins tonight if Haliburton is not more aggressive to score? And I'm going to specify to score there as opposed to just a generic aggressive.
I mean, it's possible because, I mean, they did win game one here with him scoring like 14, but I mean, look, I believe they're 33-4 when he scores at least 20 in a game, and they're 20-1 when he has at least 20-10 in a game, right? So, like, when he's aggressive scoring the ball, they're a dramatically different team. And can he deliver that kind of performance on the road? He's had some great performances at home, particularly in the last couple rounds of the playoffs. He has not had a performance like that on the road in a while. So, you know, what's that going to look like? What can he do? And what's the biggest game of his career But look, I think the biggest thing to watch to me is the 3-point line. The Thunder are a great, great team, but they can go through stretches where they really don't hit anything. And, you know, they could really struggle to hit shots. And the Pacers, again, they were plus 24 in game four. They were plus 21 in game one. I think if they're over, you know, if they're plus 20 or better, plus 21 or better, I guess, from three, in these games, they're going to feel like they have a chance to win. If it's I know they won game three, making one less three than OKC. That does not, to me, feel sustainable, particularly on the road. Like I think they've got to hit 16, 18, 20 threes, and they've got to hold OKC down. And if they do, and if Haliburton can get going, which if they hit that many threes, he's probably going to get going to some degree, they'll give themselves a chance to get this win and send the series back to Indy for game six with a chance to close it out.
Game five tonight, going to be a lot of fun to watch. Tim Bontemps is there. All the coverage from him, ESPN Television, ESPN.com. Tim, always appreciate your time, sir, and enjoy the game tonight.
Awesome. Thanks, Craig. Appreciate you, man.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.